warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles, and this is the Catholic Man Show. Welcome, one and all. Welcome to Facebook Live. Welcome to YouTube, podcast, radio, wherever you're listening. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're gonna have a great episode today, Dave. This has been a work in progress with the video. So hang in there with us. But the studio looks a little different.
Yeah.
We've been putting in some work, putting in the hours, changing up the studio a little bit.
A lot of trial and error.
Yes, there's been a lot of trial and error.
So much.
Yesterday, you and I were sitting here trying to figure out all the camera angles and lighting and all the stuff that goes into videoing a podcast. And we ended it and it was like, well, the angles weren't right. The lighting's not right. We didn't get a lot done. And then you said something like, no, we actually got a lot done.
We got a lot done. I felt like Thomas Edison coming up with 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb.
Yeah.
So that we could finally make a light bulb, so to speak.
If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we highlight a drink, or we enjoy a man beverage. We review it. We enjoy it. Enjoy each other's company in the process. We have a man gear that we highlight, that we talk about, and then we have a man topic. Those are the three things we do. Mm-hmm. Let's jump into the beverage this evening. It's brought to you by the Juan Posada. Shout out to Juan for being our producer. He's the guy behind the cameras and the mic this evening. He's helping us with the camera angles. Because last time, as you guys know, our camera angles weren't great. So he's the one that's helping us with all of this. He's our producer. We have Dave. We're really stepping it up in the world these days. We have a producer and a bodyguard.
Indeed, we must be very important people.
I mean, to have Jim Spencer as our unofficial bodyguard and to have Juan Posada as our unofficial producer, that's saying something.
I agree.
Something, at least. I'm not saying it's good.
We have so much unofficial stuff.
this evening, Juan brought this over to us from Kansas City. He was in Kansas City hanging out with his goddaughter and saw this, picked it up for us, brought it back to Tulsa. Monk and Honey is what it's called. Monk and Honey. It is by Torn Label Brewing Company out of Kansas City, Missouri. So let's get going on this. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
So it's a Belgian-inspired beer. It says table beer. Soft sweetness. Uses Belgian yeast. And they use local honey to give the beer a distinctively Midwestern twist. Display the can here for our beverage can. Beverage cam. What do you think?
The honey is not as dominant as what I thought it would be with it being monk and honey. You can have there's a little hints of honey in there, but it's not predominant. It's a very ale, Belgian ale style beer.
I mean, it's definitely has the Belgian taste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It actually tastes a lot like, in my opinion, a lot of those monk ales, the Belgian monk ales that are brewed.
Which are also good.
Which are all very good. So it's a great
excellent
beer.
Yeah. So if you're in Kansas City, is that where it was, Juan?
Kansas City.
Swing by and get some of this because
monk and honey. It is a good summer ale. It's a good summer ale.
You know, I feel like the craft beer scene gives us all the outlet we've always wished we had to support local, you know what I mean? To support your local whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, all the hipsters in the world, all the millennials, you know, even the baby boomers.
Right.
They can finally buy local real easy because you just you almost can't miss.
Right.
These days, all the beer is so good. You know, you just don't run into a whole lot of bad beer.
No, I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. And I'm glad you brought up the whole local aspect of it. It's one of the things I really like about the brew scene, you know, the craft brew scene, is that it's a local thing. I actually stopped by a brewery this evening. Dude, I went and I took my boys, my whole family.
Took him to the brewery.
We went to PBR, Professional Bull Riding, this
Today. Yeah. How was that?
Dude, it was so much fun. And the boys just ate it up with a spoon. I mean, I had to give them a spoon because they were eating it up. It was really good. It was a lot of fun. And we hung out. We watched them all. You know, because Tulsa is pretty big with PBR, Professional Bull Riding.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, Garth Brooks sang about it in Rodeo.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty big deal. It was so much fun to watch them. And they got so excited. Even Anna, like whenever it hit the 8 seconds, you know, there's a few times it hit the 8 seconds, you know, steam got shot up and the lights were all going crazy, you know, and Anna freaked out every time and was clapping. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Awesome.
Afterwards on the way home, because we were downtown and there's quite a few breweries there. Uh-huh. I swung by a brewery and picked up a nice Irish ale from the guys that we'll actually be interviewing at some point soon.
What brewery did you go to?
Welltown Brewing.
Okay. I haven't been there yet.
We're going to be interviewing them at some point to talk about Brewing 101. Talk to them about it as well. So it's,
which is something that I am very interested in. And I think a lot of guys are very interested in brewing, depending on how easy
it's kind
it
of
is.
Intimidating as, you know, well.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of my feeling, is that it's just not easy to do. I would love to brew beer for myself, just kind of for fun as a hobby.
Right.
But I think that it's pretty involved. So maybe it's not.
I have a feeling
maybe
that
it is.
I have a feeling I would act like the same way I do whenever I have people over and I smoke a brisket or pulled pork. I'm so involved with like making sure it tastes good for everybody that it's not fun, but it's
unmotivating.
Yeah, it's a progress.
You have to really build up the energy to do it. Yeah, right. It's got to kind of be a big,
because
like a big event.
I just don't want it to be not good.
Yeah,
that's what I would worry about.
But also, like, I wonder how much of this. You know, I feel like smoking a brisket, a pork butt. You know, you end up doing all this stuff, and does it really change the flavor much?
I know.
Like pulled pork. Oh, well, I inject it versus, you know, I put onions in the water pan, or, you know, it's like, does that do anything? Or is pulled pork just delicious?
Right.
You know, it's just good. So right. Just cook it and let's eat it.
Dude, have you ever cold smoked anything?
No, but anyway, I wonder if brewing beer
is kind of this.
I feel like it's not.
I don't think so at all.
If you put onions in the beer, it's actually going to make a difference.
Yeah, I agree. But have you cold smoked anything before?
I have not. Is this anything like cold fusion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
A lot of people like cold smoke cheese to get like smoky cheese or fish.
Okay.
Or bacon. You can cold smoke bacon.
I don't even know what cold. Is it just like no heat, just smoking, like putting smoke on something?
Yeah. So it's like a firebox is way far away and it's channeling all the smoke into the area, the compartment where the said food is.
Yeah.
And so it's actually only about 85 to 90 degrees, but you get all the smoke.
Smoke is sticky. That's what I think about smoke.
It is.
That it's sticky.
Which is good because it sticks to whatever you're smoking.
Right.
So I'm going to try at some point. You can't do it in the summertime because it's too hot, but either in the fall or early spring, you can like smoke cheese or something. I'm going to try that at some point.
How are you going to do it?
Carefully.
I mean, you'd have to have a device or something to keep the firebox far away from what you're doing.
Right. And I think that there's like some contraptions that you can kind of do.
Okay.
Online. I've been looking on YouTube.
Okay.
And that basically makes me an expert at it.
What if you just like put a bunch of cheese inside a balloon and then filled that balloon up with smoke and just let them sit in the balloon?
It's going to taste like rubber.
Well, you'd have to get a food balloon.
This is stupid. This is a stupid conversation.
I'm just saying, like, then you wouldn't have to constantly be generating smoke all the time.
Let's get back to the beer.
Just get a little bit of smoke.
This is bad.
I think it could work.
What do you think about the beer?
I think it's delicious. I think it tastes just like a light, Chimay Blue, kind of.
Give us a thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs up. Okay, good. He agrees.
Okay. I didn't know what he was thumbing up or thumbing down.
Well, what we've been discussing.
Good. I think it's wise of him to agree with me.
Okay, so this evening, we're going to be talking about distraction in prayer. I'm really excited about this. So if you're on Facebook Live right now, give us a question that you may have on distraction in prayer. Hopefully we can answer it. We're going to answer at least one question in between each segment on Facebook. So if you're just now listening on podcast or radio, on Sunday nights, typically we air the show early on Facebook Live. So you can go and hang out over there, send us some questions. There's at least 10 people, one probably being your mom, one probably being my mom, our wives. There's four.
Don't forget Jim.
And Jim Spencer, normally at least listens for a little while.
Yeah.
So go over there and give us a couple questions if you want. We're going to jump into the man gear. As soon as we get back, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan in studio.
With Juan hanging out with the video on my side while you're talking. Still figuring this out.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably better looking anyway. Yeah,
it's debatable. It's really debatable.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, we'll ask my wife. She is always right, dude.
So is mine. It's incredible.
I don't trust her on this topic, though. That's the thing.
I'm glad.
Okay.
All right.
What's our man gear for today?
We're just gonna jump into it. Let's just jump into it. I think that there's a topic that we have not discussed on the Catholic Man Show very much.
Certainly not enough.
I think that we have done a disservice
to the world.
To the world. To us, really.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. To us.
To us. I mean, we have not talked about this enough, which I feel like is not only a disservice to us and to our listeners, but also is just like not like this topic is part of the DNA.
It's foundational
of our show,
of life,
and yet we haven't really discussed it too much.
It's a sin. It's almost a sin.
I know, and that's unfortunate because I went to confession this week, and
that's good.
I didn't confess this though. I haven't talked about this enough.
Did you intentionally not confess it?
I did not intentionally.
Yeah, so it's you're good.
Okay, and yeah. I do say at the end of my confessions, for everything that I was intending on saying and I can't remember at this very moment of time, and everything that I can't recall.
Do you have to say that? I don't think saying that like does.
I know. I don't either, but I feel like it's almost like one of those Catholic hacks.
There are a lot of Catholic hacks out there.
Yeah.
You know, like indulgences. You have to
do certain things at certain times.
You don't get indulgences on accident.
Right.
You have to intend
to
receive an indulgence.
Right.
So like you can say part of your prayer, just say, that also that I might receive the gift or, the grace for any indulgences I could have received today.
Like, that's a good Catholic hack.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who's on right after Ray Garendi.
David Anders. Dr. David Anders.
I heard him. He said that on his show and I was like, oh, nice.
I like that.
We should put together a list of Catholic hacks someday.
I think that'd be fun. That'd be a fun episode.
I'll let you do it.
Yeah, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So our man gear today is a bacon press. We don't talk about bacon near enough on this show.
So bacon, that's the thing that we were talking about.
Right. But yeah. So it's actually a bacon press. Okay, and so
is it is so that like
let me lay it out.
Okay, sorry.
So a bacon press is made out of cast iron.
Yeah.
So it's a cast iron plate, either rectangular or circle. Mm-hmm. Typically, I haven't seen. There may be octagon shapes that I'm
sure
not aware of.
You could get
of.
Them in any shape if you wanted to.
I would suggest either the rectangle shape. I would actually suggest the rectangle shape out of that or the circle.
Well, you want something that's long as the bacon. Yeah.
So what you do is when you're frying bacon, because really, let's be honest, that's about the only way you should cook bacon is fry.
Some people put it in the oven and it's like, why?
Or the microwave even.
Oh.
And it's like, guys, come on.
You know, they make
let me just say something. Cooking bacon in the microwave is just a hair above turkey bacon. Just a hair above.
A thick hair above turkey bacon. I can stand with you on this, but it's a thick hair.
Sure. But it is. But
do
it
you
want
me to fix this for you?
No, like, I don't want you touching it.
Like, you need to stop touching.
So the bacon press. So here's what happens when you're frying bacon.
Uh-huh.
You know that sometimes if it's a fatty piece of bacon,
mm-hmm.
it curls.
Yeah, a lot of curling.
It's curling.
Yeah.
Which
I like.
To eliminate the curling, if you want to eliminate the curling, you can cut the bacon in half and cook them in halves. That helps eliminate some of the curling. But so the bacon is curling when the fat of the bacon is not cooked all the way. That's okay. Sometimes, you know, it gives it a nice chewy flavor.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
But sometimes when it curls so much,
the bacon doesn't get cooked. Yeah.
And I'm not going to debate this. This is a scientific fact. There is no such thing as, if bacon is not crispy, it's not cooked well enough. Like, it has to be crispy. There's no soggy bacon in this world.
I don't like.
Like, I know, I already said that I'm not debating this fact. This is just like scientific fact.
Yeah, okay, well, you can whatever. I don't know what kind of science magazines you're subscribing to. I like crispy bacon. I am the guy who I like bacon no matter how it's cooked.
Okay.
I don't like it when it gets too crunchy.
Well, it can't be so crunchy where like it's almost so brittle that when you drop it, it just shatters into a million pieces. Like it's so cooked.
Yeah, well,
like
it gets hard and like. It hurts to chew it
right.
at some point.
So the bacon press, cast iron,
mm-hmm.
you put it down onto the bacon, and it gives it a nice, even cook all the way through. Like, that way you're not having to worry about, you know, those edges that are curling up.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, you know, if you get the grease too hot, the middle of piece of the bacon, the middle of the strip,
yeah.
gets cooked too quickly.
Sure.
And it starts getting black in the middle, and then the edges are still uncooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so this bacon press presses down and cooks the bacon evenly, so you get a nice, crisp, flavorful piece of bacon every time.
So what I think the key is to always have a sacrificial pack of bacon. The first thing you do is you just throw a whole bunch of bacon in the pan and cook it all. You make bacon bits out of it.
Mm.
What that does is it fills the pan full of bacon grease. Because, you know, it's always at the very end, once you finally have established a base of bacon grease.
I think it's all about that.
It's all about the base
right.
of bacon grease.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can finally cook the bacon evenly. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do. You know what's really funny? Let me just tell you something really quick.
Yeah.
Juan has not hit record on the Cubase. And so this whole segment has not been recorded.
That's okay. We can pull the audio from the video.
Okay.
Although I'm not sure how long we've been going.
Yeah, I don't know how long we've been going.
It played the music, though.
It did.
Well, it's not playing right now.
It definitely has stopped.
Okay. Well.
So what do you want to do? How do you want to play this?
It's a good question.
Unfortunately, we're on Facebook Live, and so like we
yeah.
can't like if it was.
Here's what I think is going to happen at some point on the podcast. This segment is just going to come to an end.
Okay, we'll just make it.
We're going to carry on
until we feel the 12 minutes.
Podcast listener, at some point,
this is over.
We're going to just keep going, but for you, it's just going to stop.
Because we can talk about bacon anyway for a long time.
Do you see what I'm saying? I've never actually done this. This is just an idea that came to me right now about the sacrificial pack of bacon. So you go get some cheap bacon.
Mm-hmm.
All you're just using it to get the grease. But obviously, you're not going to just waste the bacon. Mm-hmm. So you just cook it up. You know, you can... Don't worry about cooking it just right, because mm-hmm. you're just going to make bacon bits. But now you've got nice grease
mm-hmm.
to cook in. Because personally, I'm not sure how I feel about a bacon press. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying I don't know about it.
Are you agnostic?
I'm unresolved.
Juan just bought one as we're talking.
We knew that he was going to do that. We joked about that earlier.
And he bought one.
And he did do it.
There's other things that you can use a bacon press for.
I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll raise my hand next time.
Thank you. Thank you. So, have you done this? Do you have a bacon press?
I personally do not have a bacon press.
Have you used a bacon press?
Very frequently.
Up with, like, flat bacon?
No, there's still a little bit of wiggle to the bacon, but there's not...
Okay.
But it's not like a, so curly that you get the... chewiness.
Yeah, I'm with you. The curl, especially when they really start to curl.
Right.
What I typically do is just flip it early.
Right, and you have to just get there and
counteract
the
curling
back and forth.
But that's just what I was worried about. Is bacon needs to have squiggles.
Sure.
Okay, and so I was just like, you know, are we talking about totally flat bacon here? Because I wouldn't be down with totally flat bacon.
I don't think it affects the flavor whatsoever.
No, but there is more to bacon than just flavor. There's transcendentals.
Okay, fair enough. I agree. There's other things that you can use your bacon press for. I looked it up online, and you can also...
Branding. You can give yourself a nice brand.
That is true. I will not disagree. You can also take hash browns.
Okay.
Okay, and put them in the... Put them in the fry, or you know, in some grease. You can set the bacon press down on the hash browns, and according to fabulousfoods.com, I've never tried this, but you can put the bacon press down onto the hash browns, let them set, and you don't have to flip the hash browns, and they both sides get golden brown.
But you have to have a hot bacon press. Is that the key?
It doesn't say that. Put it on ahead of time.
It's not going to brown both sides.
Well, my assumption is as the grease is heating and everything, you have the potatoes in there, you put them on there, everything gets hot at the same time.
Hmm. I think that you have to have a hot bacon press.
Well, I don't know how you would heat that up ahead of time.
You'd put it on the stove.
Yeah,
it's cast iron. So.
Sure.
Turn just like it's a pot or a pan, you know?
Sure. Sure.
Well, who knows? We can try it. Somebody else can try it.
Somebody else
try it and let us know how it goes.
Another aspect is a panini.
Okay.
I like hot sandwiches better than cold sandwiches.
Way better.
Way better.
Totally.
I
don't know anybody who would disagree with that statement.
Quesadillas. You can do some good quesadillas.
Yeah, but you don't need... That's not going to help you make a quesadilla, though.
You don't have to flip them.
You do have to flip it.
Not if you have a press on it.
Yes.
Put it on there. No.
Because you have to brown both.
That's the part of the bacon press that does it.
But once again, you're talking about having a hot bacon press. I mean, you have to have like a red hot bacon press to do it.
I don't know.
The bacon press is not going to just like inherently
brown something. I agree with you.
Okay.
So that's just what...
I'm just not sure what you're... Like how magical you think the bacon press is.
I've used one before and it's phenomenal. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan sitting with David Niles.
That was for the fans.
That was for the fans, yeah. So if you're listening via podcast, welcome back. I'm not sure where we cut off.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how that last segment ended for you.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting.
It could be a good teaser. For a reason for you to go watch the video
on YouTube. Yeah, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Okay, so tonight our topic is going to be distraction in prayer. We're mainly talking about mental prayer here.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different levels This is something that blew my mind.
Prayer comes in many genres.
Yeah, there's like vocal prayer, mental prayer, contemplation.
Contemplative prayer.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of
And
different...
you can be distracted in any of those.
Correct.
Like, I get distracted even in vocal prayer.
I think some of the saints would say that vocal prayer is the easiest to get distracted.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't think you're in the minority there.
All right.
So there's in mental prayer. We're talking about mental prayer here. So obviously not vocal prayer, but mental prayer, meaning that there's not words being said aloud.
Right.
There is active prayer and passive prayer in mental prayer. Okay. Active and passive.
Okay. I think I can understand active mental prayer.
Okay.
So before, describe to me what is passive.
Okay. I'm going to describe both of them just to make sure that we're on the same page.
Okay.
But
good idea.
Everything that I'm pulling tonight is from a book that I personally absolutely love.
Hold it up for the beverage cam.
Okay. This is a book that I read once a year.
Put it on the beverage
cam. A beverage cam. Here. Sorry. I'm new at this. This is a book that I read once a year. I make sure to read it one time a year because every time I read it, I get something new out of it, and it puts my prayer life into perspective. It's called Ways of Mental Prayer, and it's put out by TAN, so you can get it basically anywhere Catholic bookstore-wise and Amazon and everything else. It's by Vital... I don't know how to really say his name, but it's Vital Laity, I presume.
I think Laity is a good pass at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
A very holy priest.
Or Lahodi.
Lahodi. A very holy priest introduced me to this book.
Okay.
A while back ago, and I can't recommend it enough. I've actually said this on the show before.
Yeah.
But it's called Ways of Mental Prayer. Go look it up. So, active prayer is the soul's effort. It's when the soul's effort is predominant and God's action is less evident, and the supernatural is less evident. So it's more of you. It's more of what you're doing.
So like when you're doing the talking, so to speak.
So to speak, yeah, but mentally.
Right.
It's real, but it's still less evident that it's a supernatural act.
Mm-hmm.
The passive prayer is when God's action is stronger and goes so far as to reduce the soul to a certain passive state, more or less accentuated according to the degree of the mystical union. So
passive is better.
Passive is better.
See, at first, if you had asked me which is better, I would have said, oh, well, active is better. Like, you would be wanting to take an active participation in, your prayer.
Right.
But no, passive. That's what we want. We want to be, because we're receivers in the God-humanity relationship.
Correct. So passive is more of, I'm doing less, I'm receiving more.
Okay.
So
that sounds better anyway.
Right. So when you're in mental prayer, Dave, how much mental prayer do you do outside of maybe the rosary is a good form of mental prayer if you're not saying it vocally because you're meditating on the mysteries of Christ. It's basically like a Bible on a rope.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Even if I'm saying the rosary out loud, ideally, there's still,
meditative aspects.
Right.
To it.
Because, I try to do.
Right.
I have an incredible success rate at failure. When it comes to
a success rate,
yeah,
at failure.
My success rate at failure is very high.
Okay.
When it comes to actually meditating on the mysteries, it's something I try to do. This is what happens. I'll get to the glory be, and it's like, dang it, I didn't even think about the mystery once. And then it's like, here comes our Father, and I say, all right, but this one,
I'm gonna
knock this one out of the park. And usually by the time I'm maybe 8 to 10 words into the Our Father,
you realize
I'm already like thinking like, you know what? If oil is essentially made of bones, like dinosaur bones from a long time ago, and plastic is made of oil, and sometimes they make dinosaurs out of plastic, then it's like the plastic dinosaur is made of real dinosaurs. And then it's glory be to the Father, and it's like, dang it, I didn't even think about that.
Okay, so there's distraction. So this is what you're talking about. You're distracted.
Like the dinosaur dilemma.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
conundrum, whatever you call it. Yeah.
Sure. So there's four aspects that of distraction that this book points out. So we'll try to go through as many of them as we can.
Mm-hmm.
The first one's called distraction due to levity. Okay, which is basically, I think a lot of guys can relate to this.
Yeah.
Because how many times as a maybe defense mechanism or a, I don't know, you're vulnerable, so it's a mechanism for your vulnerability. Mm-hmm. When there's a serious moment, you make a joke.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I think everybody does that.
Okay, hit record. So, yeah, so levity, distractions due to levity is basically when men... Well, levity, so it's basically when it's taking something that's in a serious matter and try to throw humor at it.
Yeah.
To avoid the serious matter. I think guys can...
Is it always that? Is it always something serious that you're making a joke out of, or is it just like joking in general? I don't know.
Well, my understanding is that it's more of when there's a serious matter to be taking place and you try to make light of it to avoid the serious matter.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like your ears are made to hear, your tongue is made to speak, your eyes are made to see. There's certain moments that are made for certain instances, and whenever you avoid or negate what that purpose is supposed to be, you're not using it to what it's supposed to do.
Right. Okay.
So that's one of the distractions, is like you realize, you take something that's supposed to be sacred, something that's supposed to be quiet, mental prayer, a communion with God, and you start
making jokes with Jesus,
or just making it like taking it lightly.
Mm, okay. Okay.
Taking things lightly.
So it's not necessarily funny. It's just you're not giving it the seriousness it deserves. Okay.
Last time it stopped, I don't think I caught it right away. So, do we want to go back and listen to it?
No, no.
We're just going to keep going.
Keep going, yeah. Okay. Keep going. Nope. Yep. Okay. Yep, go. Yeah, so it's basically like trying to make it light.
Okay.
Trying to make something a light matter. And that's something that I think a lot of people in this day and age struggle with, because there's not very many times that we have to worry about something being serious, like taking something serious anymore. You know, a good example, I think,
unless it's PC,
political, like, right? One of the things that I love, and I hope this tradition never dies, is when a funeral hearse and everything goes by, and there's a whole procession of cars, and they're all driving, and people either pull over to the side of the road, people stop what they're doing, you know, and show their respect.
Turn their lights on.
Yeah, and show the respect as the procession goes by.
Mm-hmm.
That's showing the dignity that it deserves, showing the, I don't know, I mean, like, whatever it's supposed to deserve, and taking it in what it's due, giving it what it's due.
You don't see very many funeral processions anymore.
Maybe people aren't dying as much.
Could be. Could be. I'll bet it's Obamacare.
Okay, so the next one is distractions due to passions. So that's basically, that's a lot of being emotional.
Okay.
How many times have you been in prayer and you start praying for either a certain circumstance or something that you're trying to work on, and all of a sudden you realize that you're thinking about the reason, you justify why you're doing it and why this person said this person said this to me, so I said this back, and even though I said it back and that's not right, but he said this to me, and
he deserved it.
He deserved it. And then all of a sudden your blood pressure is up a lot, and you realize all of a sudden you're angry, or yeah, you've lost your peace. You're not even praying anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're playing these ideas through your head of, if he said this to me, then I would say this back to him if I had it to do over again. You know, I've done that before.
Totally. Definitely I've done that. In fact, I think I admitted on the show one time that sometimes I have debates with Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
You remember that?
I think you did say that.
She'll say something just dumb. And anyway, I'm not trying to make this a political show.
Right.
But I've done that. That's just that's the only example I can come up with.
Okay. The next one is distractions due to employment, which affects a lot of people who are workaholics.
Okay. I was going to say, like, if you don't have a job, you know, that seems pretty legit.
No, it's
to be
more
distracted.
I think it's more of that you are, you know, you can't take your mind off of work, and keeps coming back.
Okay.
You don't have work. Maybe you're trying to find work and you're praying and it just keeps coming back, and you can't get that off your mind, or you're workaholic and you can't turn off, you know, you're in adoration or something, and all of a sudden your phone beeps and you know it's an email and you just can't help yourself.
You can't not look at it. Yeah.
Right. You can't turn work off.
Yeah. Okay. That seems more legit than if you don't have a job. Like that seems like a pretty good reason to be distracted. I mean, it sounds like a really good thing to be praying about. And so if it's distracting you while you're praying, maybe that's okay.
And it goes back to last week when we were talking about noise, you know, we were talking about the power of silence. Like if you can't turn off what's going on around you, then you can't really commune with God.
You're talking about the workaholic now.
Right. Yeah. I'm talking about the workaholic.
Uh-huh. I agree.
And that's something that, you know, even last week when I said, I gave it the example of when you pull into your driveway, you know, sit there for 2 to 3 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes or whatever, and decompress about what's going on with work. And okay, tomorrow I have to achieve this, this, and this. And that way, in your mind, psychologically, you said, okay, I've taken care of that now. I can move on. And now I can go be with my family.
Right.
That's something that I struggle with. I know you don't struggle with it as much, but that's something that I struggle with. Uh-huh.
I think a lot of people do.
Right. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the ways of mental prayer, what they suggest on how to avoid these distractions.
Okay.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
You're doing a great job, Juan. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan. Juan Posada is on the computer. He's producing for us today. We're talking about distractions during prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm the king of this.
Right. The last one, we got to three before the break hit. And the last one I want to get to real quick because then I want to talk about the remedy of all this.
Okay. Can I say one thing? I think we've mentioned this on the phone. On the show before.
Okay.
When I pray the rosary, if I can say one Hail Mary, the whole rosary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking the whole thing. Without being distracted, I count that as a big win. That's how big of a problem this is for me.
Well, I don't think you're alone on this whatsoever.
I mean, that is the truth. I'm not exaggerating. And part of the problem is I pray the rosary in the car while I'm driving. You know, and it's like, there are things, I could die. At any moment, you know, if I don't pay attention to the driving,
right,
that's not good,
right,
and that's an excuse. I know it is. I think.
Okay, the last one.
I just had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you for listening.
The last distraction is due to weakness, and that this is more of you just allow your mind to wander. You will I think everybody has distractions, and once you realize you have a distraction, there's a temptation of continuing the distraction.
Hmm.
Okay, so like kind of like what you're talking about, your dinosaur, your stupid dinosaur example.
Yeah.
Halfway through it, you realize, oh, I'm thinking about this instead of praying.
Mm-hmm.
Do you finish that thought or do you get back to praying?
Right.
And a few weeks ago, you brought an example up, and I wasn't sure how I was going to reference it at the time, but I knew at some point I'm going to reference this.
Excellent.
And you talked about whenever you were driving down the highway and there was a wreck in front of you, and you purposely, once you get there, you do not look.
Don't look.
Because everybody's stopped and backed up because everybody wants to look at this wreck, you know, before they pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of doing that, you keep what you're supposed to be doing on the road, eyes ahead, and you keep driving.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of an example of like this distraction in prayer. Like, you know, something is coming. You realize it. Okay. I could go and look and I could slow down and continue backing up traffic, or I can continue going.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an example, I think, that we could bring up.
It's so hard to do.
The distractions but you know, you remember whenever you were talking about it, and you said, I'm not sure if this is efficacious or not, or if it makes Jesus happy, but it forms your will.
Yes.
On these little parts, right, of realizing that I can't do this because this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be doing X and not Y.
Yeah, the will is a muscle.
Right.
Yeah, people don't often think about the powers of your soul. But when you read St. Faustina, for instance, she mm-hmm. talks about, you can hear Jesus say to her throughout the course of the book that in the beginning, you were not strong enough to withstand this. Mm-hmm. Like she literally, the powers of her soul had not... Her spiritual muscles couldn't have taken it. But then at the end of the book, she's like, a rock star and she can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
All this crazy suffering.
So I want to read this little excerpt real quick. It says, every distraction, whatever its source, is culpable when deliberately entertained or when voluntary in its cause. Not so, however, if it is posited the cause, which recognized as such, is sufficient motive. And if, moreover, okay, so basically, it's basically saying that you're culpable for any distraction if you realize it's a distraction and you continue going.
Yeah.
It's basically what it's saying. I'm sorry, I didn't, like...
I think lustful thoughts would be a good example of that. You know, like, sometimes, especially for men, I think, you're going to just have a thought pop into your head, okay? Right. That doesn't mean that you put it there. You know, sometimes you just have a lustful thought.
Mm-hmm.
The sin is not in having the thought. The sin is in entertaining the, you know, continuing the thought.
And that's kind of what Carla was talking about whenever we had him on, like, a few weeks ago, about the will
mm-hmm.
and the intellect, the will of the intellect.
Yeah.
And how you have to formulate the will before anything else happens. Because if you don't realize it and you say, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. If you don't do that, then it can lead you down these paths of habitual sins or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
It's the red flag. Forming your will is the red flags. It's the caution flags that can get thrown up.
See, this isn't my problem. I'm sure that there are many people. I'm sure there are people who struggle with it. But I always get angry whenever I'm distracted. Like, ugh, I'm distracted again. And it's like, and then I'll... You know, think about the mystery. And it has to be seconds later that I am distracted again. And it's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when I pray the rosary in adoration, it's better. But still, I have ADD. I hesitate to even say that because I think that's just an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as a person who's been diagnosed with ADD, I think... Back in the old days, you just had to learn to be a man and get over it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Maybe it was going to be a little harder for you than everybody else. That sounds like a personal problem.
Right.
Okay? So I wish I could do this. I need to read the book. I will read the book. Can I borrow the book?
Once I'm finished with it.
Thank you.
Okay, so the remedies. Let's talk about the remedies really fast. We don't have a whole lot of time left. So the remedies of distraction and prayer. The sole remedy is basically to combat these distractions. Number one is to humble ourselves in God's presence. For humility is the remedy of all of our problems. And there's a couple things that we can talk about there. Basically, you know how sometimes people, when they start off in prayer, they say, let us remember that we're in the holy presence of God.
Yeah.
Before they start their prayer.
Yeah, we used to do that at Bishop Kelly.
Right, yeah, absolutely, at our high school. That is a great practice, I think, to do, because before you can really get into prayer, you need to make sure that you realize what you're doing. It's an intentional thing, right? So before we get going in this conversation with God, let's remember that we are preparing ourselves to converse with the creator of the universe, with, you know, our whole, the Alpha and the Omega.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Right. Every time. So humbling ourselves, I think, every time is good. And so one of the things I thought of would be, as you realize you're in distraction, you just stop and just embrace the idea of having God, like being in God's presence. Mm-hmm. And whatever that looks like for you. So for me, I know that this is kind of an abstract thought. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but for me, it's the idea of being on the rock that Jesus was laying on, if he was. I'm kind of going off of the Passion of the Christ, but in Gethsemane, whenever he was about to endure his passion.
Well, there you can go to that rock.
Yeah, you can go to that rock. That's
you can,
right.
You can celebrate. Well, you can't, but if you go there, they celebrate Mass on that rock.
So my idea of remembering that I'm in the holy presence of God is the idea of like putting myself right before the feet of Jesus as he's laying on this rock, understanding that he's about to go through this mm-hmm. passion.
What I kind of do is just like think about, just sit there and like, let him love me.
Mm.
Just kind of open yourself up and like, I know that you love me just mm-hmm. this crazy amount, and just thank you and just like, you know, he's like wanting to just dump it on you.
Right.
Let him dump it on
basically
you.
Basically, like, teach me how to pray.
Yeah. Lord, teach me to pray.
The second one is gently bring your mind back to the subject of prayer, which is kind of something we've talked about, but 1,000 times if necessary. So St. Faustina talked about how whenever you were in meditative prayer and you get distracted, it's always good to have a devotional book or something like that to bring yourself back to the meditative state. So there's times where you basically lose your train of thought or lose your meditative state. That's when it's good to go back to the meditative book, the rosary, yeah, whatever it is, to bring you back to wherever you're supposed to be.
Who is the saint, maybe Saint Francis, who said, if all you do is constantly turn yourself back to prayer, like even if you don't actually, if just it's distraction, 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 but every time you just are bringing yourself, trying to bring yourself back, that alone is meritorious.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a saint who said something like that. And maybe it was Saint Francis.
The last one is basically kind of piggybacks off of our last episode, which is like, stop talking.
Hmm.
Be silent.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Like, if you're distracted, just stop. Just cease to have that thought. And just sit in the presence of God.
Just be quiet.
Just be quiet.
Yeah, because in silence, there's no distraction.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times...
Because if you're doing nothing, you can't be distracted from it. You know, you can only be distracted when you're trying to accomplish X and then Y gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not trying to... If you're just being silent, I suppose that could be what you're trying to accomplish, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if quiet has no distraction...
Mm-hmm. One other thing that Father said in this, it says, every distraction, if well combated, far from injuring us, increases our merits and hastens our progress. So kind of like what you were just saying, that topic, like if you're combating these and you're desiring to combat these distractions and you do it well,
mm-hmm,
that increases our progress. So, I mean, similar to forming the will.
Yeah, that's just like a exercise for the will. All things work for the good in the end. God orders all things to work for the good.
Yeah. So I know this has been a little bit of a rocky episode.
Well, I'm also glad that we talked about these. Now I don't have to read the book.
No, you definitely need to read. Dude, that's 2 pages. That was 2 pages.
I mean, here's the cures. Number one, humble.
Right. But there's it's well worth your time. Well worth
the
read.
I'll read the book.
Okay. Thanks to Juan for the monk and honey beer that we drank this evening. We talked about the bacon press and distraction in prayer. Hopefully the episode wasn't too distracting. Hopefully you got something out of it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.